Well, tonight I have a great message, and it's a little bit of a topical. For those of you who have heard me before, those of you who attend Shift, or on the past Sunday night when I did that message in September about Minutemen, or the past Wednesday night when I talked about David, you know that now, you might know that I like history. I like numbers, statistics. I like interesting facts. It's just kind of that engineering mind that I've had since, you know, when I was a young child, and I would take apart my father's tools but never put them back together. I've always just had that interesting, you know, I love numbers. I love facts. I love history. I love practical application. I like taking things. I think the best way to learn something is to look at what it is that we're going through in life, in the physical, whether it be something that we're experiencing through our jobs or through our hobbies or through our likes or dislikes, and applying that then to our Christian walk so that we can better and clearly understand the message that God has for us. And some of you guys know, probably most of you in this place know, that Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah have a sailboat. Long before they had a sailboat, long before they had the boat before their sailboat, long before they had the boat before the boat before the sailboat, I had a sailboat. As a matter of fact, somebody had donated a 1976 Hobie Cat sailboat. It was a little 16-foot. It had a bunch of holes in the side, and they gave it to the church, and it sat in the storage parking lot that we had at the time for a good couple years. We never knew what to do with it, and I said, you know, that looks like something fun to do. So I told the church I'd buy it off of them, not knowing what I was getting myself into. My wife and I, we took upon ourselves to learn how to sail by ourselves. We never took any kind of lessons. We just go out to the local lake in Moreno Valley and experience sailing the way God intended it. Just man and the wind, no motor, no nothing. Just, you know, if you made it, you made it. If you didn't, you didn't. And we had some ups and we had some downs. But you know what? I learned a lot about that. And tonight I want to take some practical application of what I learned in the process of my wife and I learning how to sail together as a team. And I want to apply that to our Christian walks tonight. Before we get into the message, though, any further, I want to ask you in this place tonight, how many of you are in this place tonight and are believing for something, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, employment, salvation for family members, prosperity or success within your own lives. That's pretty much all of us, right? We're believing in something. We've all got, you know, a something that we're pressing towards or that we're moving forward. And tonight, I have a message that I believe that God is going to speak to you. You know, it's a message that I believe that goes across all age groups, whether young or old. It goes across all areas of interest, whether work-related or faith-related, healing-related. I believe that tonight, if you grab a hold of the message, I really ensure that you would leave this place changed and never the same. So tonight, I want to talk to you about the subject of holding on, of pressing forward. The title of tonight's message is Stay the Course. Now, let me say this. Now, you might say, well, you're reading it up there on the overheads, you might read, Stay the Course. Well, Pastor Luke, that's not very good English. That's kind of weird English. Well, being that I'm going to apply some of my practical application and learning how to sail and learning how to do things nautical, for those of you who know anything about, if you've ever seen the movie Master and Commander or any of those kind of nautical of things, or any of you served in the military, you'll know that even though we're in the 21st century, the nautical world has based their terminology on Old English. And so a lot of the times you'll hear something on a boat, whether it be a sailboat, whether it be a military boat, whether it be a powerboat, whether it be a fishing boat, terms that you'll hear and you'll be like, what did that guy just say? Like a gunwale or a mainsail. A mainsail, not a mainsail, it's a mainsail, or a foresail instead of a foresail. So they kind of, you know, Old English kind of got its way in there, and it's a very traditional thing. So tonight we're going to talk about staying the course. And in nautical terms, staying the course means to hold your course, to keep going, to keep pressing, to not waver to the left or to the right or to the port or to the starboard, but to keep moving forward. And tonight I want to talk about our faith and about our Christianity and our walks with God and whatever it is tonight that you're believing for, about staying the course. You know, when it comes to sailing, or nautical terms, when it comes to boating, when you stay the course, there's a lot of things that come against you in the process of that. Oftentimes, the boat itself may not want to pick the line that you have chosen to get to your destination between point A and point B. So in the nautical world or in sailing, you know, you pick a destination that you go to, and you aim for that destination, and you head for that destination. And oftentimes, the current might want to push the boat off to one way, or the wind might want to direct the boat another way, or the boat itself, being out of misalignment, might want to, if you let go of the wheel, it might turn to one way or the other way. So there's constantly something that is fighting the turn, but staying the course means that you have to adjust your sails, that you have to adjust the helm, or what we call in the nautical world, the helm is the steering device of the boat, the steering wheel. You have to adjust the steering wheel. You have to make adjustments here and there, and you have to fine-tune things to get the boat to go to the direction that you want to go. Because oftentimes, when you're trying to do so, there's so many things that are pushing against it. So many different forces that are coming against it that the boat has a tendency to want to go this way or that way. You know what I find so interesting is that in our Christian walks, it's always the same thing. That principle is applied to our daily walks in Christ. You know, we pick something, or we're standing in faith for something. You know, we're standing in faith for healing, or we're standing for our family members. Or you know what? Looking for jobs, or believing for God to bring an opportunity our way. And we're standing, and we stand up tall, and we stand up straight, and we have our eyes set on the goal. But there are so many things in life that keep us, that try to push our attention elsewhere, that try to grab us, or the currents of life, or the winds come against us, and the storms come and batter us during life. And oftentimes, we get pushed off course, or we get directed somewhere else. And then we look back at our life and say, why didn't anything ever happen for me? Well, tonight, I believe that we're going to discuss what it is to do about staying on course. I've got three very simple points. They're so easy. And I believe if we grab a hold of them tonight, you just take these principles and you remember them throughout the week, you remember them throughout the process of you holding on and you believing and you standing in faith, that I believe that you will stay the course. You will be better equipped to keep going, to keep heading on. Let me tell you something. Like I said, I like interesting facts. I like, history and things of that nature. And I looked up something because I had heard this second word. So then I applied a little bit of geometry and I looked it up through the help of research. And I want to give you a thought. Now, some of you, I might lose you, but I'll bring you back because this gets a little technical. But don't worry, I'll bring it back to you. Okay, so let me just explain this. If theoretically, we were to get on a boat and leave from Los Angeles and sail or motor or however from point A to point B to Hawaii. That trip is approximately 2,500 miles. Okay, so like an airplane. If you were to get on a plane and go, it's about a 2,500-mile flight. So from, let's just say, Los Angeles to Hawaii, it's about 2,500 miles. And we just pick a straight line and we just say, okay, we're going that way. Now, let's just think. Now, if our boat or our vessel, would we pick a straight line and we're going towards Hawaii, if somehow, whatever maybe the compass on our boat might be out of misalignment or the current might have come and we're not compensating for that, if we were headed towards Hawaii and we veered off course by 2 degrees, just 2 degrees, two simple degrees out of 360, if we veered off by 2 degrees, we would miss Hawaii completely. Now, let me give you some facts. For every mile, if you're off course by 2 degrees, that's 200 feet. Now, 200 feet is really not that far. It's about family room to family room. It's not very far apart. So you think, well, Pastor Luke, 200 feet's not very far. But when you take 200 feet for 2,500 miles, you end up missing Hawaii by 80 miles. Now, that's a pretty big difference. You say, well, Pastor Luke, 80 miles, okay? That's about the distance from here to San Diego, okay? We can make that up. We can travel that. That's not a big deal. Now, let me present to you a little bit of science, a little bit of technical information. Now, this might be like, whoa, what is he talking about? But you guys are you guys familiar with the term or the phrase, the horizon, right? It's the bend of the earth. You've seen where the earth, where it starts to curve and you start to see the actual line of the earth. Well, what you're looking at is the point in the earth where after that it starts heading back down around to the back side of the earth where you cannot see. Well, based on some basic calculations, at sea level, so if we were to theoretically be on a vessel or a boat, at sea level, the distance from us or the boat to the horizon where the earth starts to go back towards itself or back away from us, maybe like let's say towards China, right, is 4 miles. So if you were 80 miles off course on your way to Hawaii, you wouldn't even be able to see the physical island of Hawaii. So you would keep going and keep going and see blue water, and you would find yourself in northern Japan for 2 measly degrees. You know what the interesting thing about that is? How many times in our life and in our Christian walks with God do we get off course by 2 measly degrees? When something comes up or some kind of distraction comes up against our lives or, some situation brings itself to our attention and we're standing in faith and we kind of just take our eyes off the mark or take our eyes off that line for just a split second, 2 degrees, and then we figure, okay, we're still all right. You know, it's just 2 measly degrees. But if we keep running and we take our eyes off that prize, we might miss what it is that God has for us completely by going right past it, never seeing what it was. So tonight, it is important for us. It is crucial for us to stay on course when it is something that we're standing for, whether it be our general walk with God and our Christianity. Because how many of you guys know that our walk with God is not a sprint, nor is it a relay where we can pass off our salvation to somebody else? But our walk with God is a marathon. So it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God, whether or not you're young or you're old, when you're starting your relationship with God or you're coming to the final days of your life, it is always pressing forward. It is never standing still, and it is always called to stay on the mark. So tonight, we're going to look at some interesting points, 3 simple concepts. If you have your Bible, before we get into them, I want to show you a verse. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. Here, Paul, the apostle, is talking to the church at Corinth about the end times, about what it is that we will face as children of God at the end. When he's speaking earlier in the verses prior to what we're going to read about how the corruptible, our human flesh that is perishable, will inherit the incorruptible, about the mortal, which is us and our mortal lives, will inherit the immortal, everlasting, or eternal life. So Paul's talking about that, and he speaks into death, and he says, you know, he quotes in the Psalms, "Oh Hades, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory?" And he talks about that. And in verse number 57, he says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse number 58, this is where I really want to take some time and focus. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. To be steadfast means to stay the course. To be steadfast, to be immovable, means that on the path of your journey, on the decision, on the trail that you've taken, on the course that you have decided with God, that God has set before you, he says to be steadfast, to not be wavering from left or to right, to not be distracted, but to be steadfast and immovable, and you stay on that trail. You stay on that path. So Paul gives us the encouragement, saying that our labor is not in vain. I looked up in the dictionary some different words for steadfast. Let me read some of them to you. Well, I'll give you the definition first. Steadfast is to be resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. To be resolutely or dutifully firm or unwavering. To be unwavering in your journey. Some alternate words for steadfast in the thesaurus: to be determined, to be resolute, to be relentless, to be single-minded, unchanging, unwavering, unhesitating, unfaltering, unswerving, unyielding, unflinching, uncompromising, faithful, committed, devoted, dedicated, dependable, reliable, steady, true, consistent, solid, or trusty. To be faithful, to be consistent, to be solid on the path that God has. When you stand for something, when you believe in your faith, when you're standing for the salvation of your family, when you're standing for unemployment and you're believing that God's going to bring something your way, to be unwavering, to be unfaulty, to be steadfast, to be true. And then holding our course, we can see that God will come through. It says our labors will not be in vain. In James, the first chapter, verse number 5-7, I'll just put it up on the overhead. It says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse number 6 comes along and says, but let him ask in faith. What? With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse number 7 comes along and it says, let not that man, speaking of the person who asked and doubted, who was like a wave of the sea, tossed by the wind, he will receive, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible tells us, James tells us, to when we ask, to ask in faith, to be unwavering, to be steadfast, to hold our course. Because otherwise we are unstable in our ways. We are like a wave in the sea, driven and beaten up by the storms of life. When the challenges and the trials come and they hit us and they blindside us and they keep us down, if we are unwavering, we can get back up. We can see the prize. We can see the mark. We can see the course. And we can stand in faith and trust that God will see us through to the end. Praise God. I have three simple points tonight. Tonight I want to just talk to you about staying on course. Three very simple concepts. Are you guys ready for them? Number one tonight, know where you are going. When you think about it, without a destination, without a goal, without an end marker, we wander aimlessly. And if we don't know where we are going, how is it that we can press forward? How is it that we can move towards the prize? How is it that we can go to that line? How is it that we can be steadfast? How is it that we can keep the course if we don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way is left, and which way is right? We, as Christians, we as the body of Christ and standing in faith and believing in God and trusting in God and living our daily lives, we have to know where we are going. We have to know the path that we are on. We have to know the course that God has set for us. We have to know what we are going to do in the name of Jesus and God in order for us to continue on, in order for us to hold the path, in order for us to be unwavering and unchanging. We have got to know where we are going. Now I think about it in practical application. You know, as you guys have all heard, you know, I like to sail. Pastor Jim and Pastor Debbie, they have a sailboat. We took a vacation with them. We met them at Catalina Island. If you guys were here a couple months ago, you heard Pastor Jim talk about it, and how it was like the vacation from hell. But we learned a lot about sailing. We learned a lot about bilge pumps, and we learned about different elements of the boat that we may not have otherwise learned. But in the process of our vacation, we went from one harbor to the next because we didn't want to just spend all day in this one spot. So we were at the harbor of Avalon, and we decided, okay, let's go further up to a more rural part of Catalina where there wasn't so many things going on. There wasn't so many boats passing by. So we decided to go up a little bit further. I think it was just a couple miles up the coast of the island of Catalina to a harbor called Two Harbors. And what we did when we did that, when we decided to get out there, is we pulled out of the harbor and we sat on the course. We sat on the plotter, on the boat. We figured it out. We pulled out a map and we pulled out a ruler and we said, okay, well, based on the depth of the sea and the current, we're going to go this way. And then after 3 miles, we're going to turn and we're going to go to 185 degrees and we're going to make a straight line that way. And we're going to cut between here and we're going to cut between there. And what we did is we calculated, we figured out the shortest and fastest route. Because otherwise we might go out and we might waste an hour or two by going too far out, or we might go too far in and find shallow ground that we may not have hit or may not have known about and hit something or damaged the boat. So what we did is we looked at the map. We saw where the water was deep, where the water was shallow, and we planned out a course and we got to that harbor. Just like us in our Christian lives, we have to plan out a course. We have to see a course. You know, of course, not always will we know the end destination. Not always will we see the final road. When God sets something on our heart, a lot of times it is a walk of faith. But you know what we can rely on is that we know the journey. We know the heading. We know the direction of travel and where we are to head. I think back to when this past year when I inherited the leadership of Shift. In the beginning of the year when they asked me if I wanted to do it, I told them no. I was very comfortable running the television department. But at the same time, God was pressing on me to step out in faith. He was speaking to my heart saying, you know what? You can't be complacent where you are. You have to step out. You have to trust me and take a step of faith. So I accepted the leadership position of Shift. And in the process, no, I don't know the end result. I don't know where I'll be from 30, 40 years from now. But I do know the course that God has set for my life. And I do know that if I am steadfast, if I am unwavering, that God will see me through and God will build me up. And the same goes to you, church. When you can set your course, when you can look at God and you can say, you know what? That's the path I'm to take. And if I am unwavering, if I am steadfast, if I stay the course, I know that God will see me through. You getting some out of this tonight? In Philippians, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians in the 3rd chapter. A couple chapters to the, what is that? To the left. That would be to the right, to the left. Yeah, you're turning pages to the left. Philippians in the 3rd chapter. We're going to look at verse 12 through 14. Paul speaking here. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise... Wait, I'm sorry, I'm reading something different. Philippians, the third chapter, verse number 12. Huh, I said 15. Not that I had already attained or am already perfected. Verse 12, I'm sorry. But I press on that I may lay hold of that which of Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Paul says, I press forward toward the goal. Paul says, I have a goal in my life, and I press forward. He has set the course. He says, you know what? This is the course laid out for me. Yeah, the journey may have its ups and its downs, its lefts and its rights, but I see the goal, I see the path, and I press toward the goal. We as Christians, we as the body of Christ, have got to press toward the goal. We have got to know where we are going. Number two tonight, speaking of staying on course, we have got to know what we are doing. We have got to know what we are doing. In order for us to stay on course, we have to know what we're doing. We have to have an understanding of what we are facing, of what may lay ahead of us, and of what we can do about it through God. You know, we may not know everything. Like I said earlier, this is a journey of faith, but at the same time, we can know what we are doing in Christ Jesus. We can know who we are. We can know where we stand in the body of Christ. We can know that the Bible tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? We can know that the Bible tells us that by His stripes, we are healed. We can tell that the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, through Jesus who strengthens us. We have got to know what we are doing. Looking back to when I had started sailing with my wife, we took this boat out. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's kind of funny. My wife and I laugh about it, but it, you know, Stacy will tell you that it was darn near the end of our relationship. Okay, so we took this boat out. We didn't know left or right. We didn't know what port or starboard was. We didn't know what various wires or cables were. We just took this boat out to the lake, and we said, you know what? Let's just figure it out. So we didn't know that you're supposed to put plugs in the bottom of it to keep water from flowing in. All right, so we figure this out as we're going, okay? So finally, we get this boat set up. Yeah, really, I kid you not. We get this boat set up. Now, generally, now that I know how to do it, the boat set up takes about 20, 30 minutes to get everything. You know, you have to raise the mast and hoist all the sails and set all of the rigging and get it all ready to go. We didn't know this. So over 2 or 3 hours... baking in the summer sun in Moreno Valley, where we're trying to figure this out, and I'm holding the mast up, and I'm, you know, my arms are shaking, and Stacy's yelling at me saying, it goes here, and I say, no, it goes over there, and this cable goes there. I mean, we are just, you know, finally, after multiple hours, multiple shouting matches and frustrations, we get the boat set up. And at that point, a wise person would have said, okay, this isn't going very well. Let's cut our loss, tear it down, say we learned how to set the boat up and go home. But no, we said, no, let's go out on the lake. Let's figure this out. This sailing thing out. You know, we don't know anything about sailing. So we take the boat out to the lake. And sure, you know, I turn the boat and all of a sudden the wind just boom, picks the boat and whoo, it flies. You know, these little Hobie cats, they're little tiny 16-foot boats and they fly. It's one of those two-hulled boats if you've ever seen them. You know, they were popular in the 80s. Well, one hull comes all the way out of the water and everybody's freaking out when they're on it. But so all of a sudden this boat just goes ripping down the lake and oh man, it is great fun. And then all of a sudden we realize we have to turn. We have to go somewhere else because the end of the lake is drawing near and I'm going very fast. So we decide, okay, let's turn. So we turn the boat and all of a sudden the boat gets pointed right into the wind. Now, if you've ever taken a sailing class or seen anything, when a boat, a sailboat in particular, gets pointed right into the wind, there's a terminology for it. It's called being in irons, like being clad in irons, like handcuffed, right? Because when the boat goes straight into the wind can't go against the sail. It just pushes the boat. The boat instantly, because it's such a light boat, this boat instantly loses all momentum and stops dead. There's nothing really you can do because we don't have a motor to get out of the irons. I can't steer the boat because there's no momentum for the steer. It's like trying to steer your car when it's parked. It's not going anywhere. So I'm turning. I'm trying to use the paddle as a propeller to get it moving so that I can try to. And I kid you not, for probably 30 minutes in the middle of summer, no sunblock, and you see this pasty white skin. I mean, we are stuck. And we are just yelling at each other. And I'm, at this point, you know, I'm feeling stressed because as the captain or the skipper of the boat, it is my responsibility for the safety of my crew. So at this point, I'm saying, forget sailing. We're just trying to get in and go home. I don't even care if I leave the boat on the shore. So after 30 minutes, we get the boat turning. All of a sudden, the wind hits it. Boom, it starts picking up. But I'm going in the same direction that I was going before. I can't get the boat to go back towards shore. So, okay, I figure, all right, well, the boat's got some momentum, so let me try to turn it back towards shore. And lo and behold, the boat turns back towards the shore. And right then, the boom swings across the boat. And wham! Smack dab in the middle of my forehead. That boom hit me straight in the forehead, knocked me on my back. And now I know my wife, at the time she was my fiance, she's thinking, I have never done this. I have no clue how to get him home, but he's for sure got a concussion. This is it. We're selling the boat. We're leaving it here. We'll file the serial numbers off so nobody knows whose boat it is. We as Christians, even though we laugh at that, I look back to it and it's a funny, funny thought. You know, at that point, we really wanted to give up. We were done. Okay, we were done. But, you know, we pressed on. I bought a book on how to sail. Who would have thought to read before? But we as Christians in our daily walks, oftentimes, we go through our journey of life. We go through our course of life the same way. We stand in faith and we don't know what's coming against us. We don't know the trials and the tribulations and how we can face them. We don't know if we have the tools to do the right job. We don't know if this cable goes here or if that cable goes here in our own lives. We're standing and believing for healing. We're standing and believing for jobs or prosperity or something in our lives. But oftentimes we don't know what we're doing. And we just kind of wander aimlessly trying to figure it out. Yeah, we may get there. I got back to the shore. But you know, if I would have hired a teacher, if I would have gone with somebody who knew how to sail before just trying to figure it out with my wife, before just trying to figure out how to look at the, or how to set the boat up, if I would have gone with somebody who knew, I could have saved my relationship, one, from a day of horrible stress, and two, I could have saved my head from a large knot right in the middle of my forehead. We as Christians, if we know what we're doing, if we can figure out what we're doing in Christ, what the Bible says about our situation, how much more then can we be effective? How much more then can we stay on course? When the wind comes and our boat gets clad in irons, when our life gets clad in irons, we can then know how to break those irons, how to break those chains, and move on the course that God has set before us. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, for time, I'll just put it up on the overhead. Verse number 14 says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from who you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You might say, well, Pastor Luke, to be honest with you, from childhood, I don't know the Scriptures. I'm new to this. But you know what? It is never too late. It is never too early, like for my situation, to pick up the manual of life, to pick up the manual of sailing, to open it up, to look at the Scripture, and to see what it is that we are doing so that we can be better equipped to stay the course. When you're dealing with healing, or when you're believing for employment, or you're believing for God to have a miracle in your life, you can open up the manual of life and look and see what the Bible says about your situation. And that, therefore, you would be better equipped, better prepared to stay the course. You guys getting some out of this tonight? Finally tonight, the third, and like Pastor Dan said this morning, I think I saved the best for last. And this one, I think of all, is the most obvious on staying the course. Number three is to keep looking forward. Now, when I look at this, I like this one because to me, this is the duh statement. To keep moving forward, to stay the course, you have to keep looking forward. How is it that we can expect to know where we're going when we are looking all around? We're looking at what they're doing over here, or how they're being blessed over there, or what's going on in our family life here, or what happened 10 years ago. How can we then stay on the course? when I think about sailing and staying at the helm and sitting at the helm as the captain or the skipper of a boat. There are so many things that you have to do in order to get that boat to keep moving forward. You have to trim the sails. You have to make sure that the wind is traveling appropriately through the sails. You have to make sure that the boat is in alignment. You have to make sure that you are looking at the point. But there have been so many times in my life as a skipper or as the captain of my boat, of my parents' boat, even when they weren't on that boat, where I've looked behind, oh, look at that. How cool is that? Or I've looked over there, wow, look at that jet taking off. And then all of a sudden I look back at the course, and oh, holy cow, there's a pillar right there. There's a buoy right in front of me. Or there's a powerboat or a water skier sitting right in front of me. Why? Because I took my eyes off the course. I looked to the left, or I looked to the right, or I looked behind me to see what was going on around me instead of looking at where I was heading. In order for me to stay on the course, I've got to keep my eyes fixed on a point. Whether it be on the horizon or whether it be somewhere else, I've got to keep my eyes fixed on a point and keep my boat, keep my vessel pointed in that direction for me to stay on course. Because you know what happens? You guys may have done this before. Driving in a car, somebody says something in the back seat, or you know, you might have your kids in the back seat, and you look back and, hey, back there, you know. All of a sudden you look up, and how did I get in this lane? Right? Or you're driving, it's late at night, take your eyes, you know, close one eye so you can rest one and the other. You know, you put your head down for a second. Or how many of, I know none of us in this building are guilty, but, you know, taking our eyes off the course by looking down and texting. Or looking down and making a phone call. Right? In our life, how is it that we can make forward progress and know where we are going, know the course, know the path when we're not paying attention to it, when we're not looking forward? Yet in our Christian walks, oftentimes we do that. We say, oh yeah, I'm standing in faith, I'm believing for God, I know that God's going to come through in my situation, and then all of a sudden we start looking over here, and we start looking over there, and we start thinking, well, you know what, this happened to me 10 years ago, and I really don't think that was fair, or this happened to my life, or Sister Sally over here is being blessed, and I'm not. And we start paying attention to over here, to the left, or to the right, or to the back, instead of looking forward, and keep moving on. Jesus says, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just pop this up on the overhead. In Luke, the 6th chapter, Jesus says that no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you understand what this means? Jesus says that nobody who says that I'm going to go forward, I'm going to put my hand to the plow, I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to commit to this, and then starts plowing like that is fit for the kingdom. Can you imagine? Think back to the times when farmers had their oxen and they had that plow. You know, you might get a picture of the Amish or something like that. Just imagine the results if a farmer was to put the plow and then put a blindfold over him and just say, ha, and go, right? Or to look back like this and not pay attention. Do you think that each one of those lines to plant the crop, to plant the seed, would be straight and to be parallel? Do you think that that farmer would get maximum use out of his land to have the most return, the most yield in his life? But sometimes in our life we wonder, why is it that we're floating around aimlessly? Why is it in our life that God hasn't done something? You know, we stand in faith, we've been believing, and years, you know, weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and we look back and say, why hasn't God done anything in our life? While all the time we're looking around instead of looking forward. In order to stay the path, in order to keep heading forward, we have got to keep our eyes on the prize, to keep our eyes on the mark, and keep moving forward. In Philippians, we were there earlier today. I'll just put it back up on the overhead. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, Paul says, speaking of the prize, referring to his race, he says, I do not count myself as apprehended, as finished, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Guys, it is time for us as the church to let the past be the past and to let the future be God. We have got to move forward. We have got to keep our eyes looking forward in order for us to stay on the path. So in conclusion tonight, Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not stop going, if we do not pause, if we do not let our boat get in irons and the vessel of our life get into the pause, to the stall, but we keep pushing forward. And you know what? If we do get ourselves into the irons, or if we do get our lives off track, we realign it to the course. We make a correction. We make an adjustment. We get it out of the irons, and we push forward and keep moving forward. Then God can step in and God can do what it is that He wants to do in each and every one of our lives. Did you get something out of that tonight? Praise God.